I'm now delighted to be joined for another special interview with the recent Remote Darts League winner, James Richardson. How are you, James?
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you very much. Yeah, all good this end.
And how are you coping with the current lockdown situation?
Well, I'm trying to keep myself busy around the house doing the jobs and that you know you don't get to do when you're working, and trying to play a few darts comps in between. But as I'm contracted under the Remote Darts League now, they've been knocked on the head, and I'm in the second one, and so that's sort of basically what I've been doing.
And how did the invitation to play in the first one actually come about?
Honestly, I don't know. I had a phone call from Mac Elkin, my manager, and he went through what was happening, and my name got mentioned. Would you be interested in playing? And I said, yeah, let's give it a go. And with all the other top players that he reeled off, and I thought, well, this will be a challenge. And so it was.
And what was the adjustment like actually playing a competitive game when you're at home and you're playing somebody else who's miles away on a you know, you've set the camera up yourself?
Well, I adapted it quite quickly. I just didn't do exactly the same while doing a match. I just stand back, pretend there's somebody in front of me playing, then I'll go forward. Basically, all I was doing, that's my routine.
I mean, you were, you know, the most impressive player in the competition. You topped the group, you hit the most maximums. And then, particularly impressive performance in the final against Paul Hogan, a 98 average and a delightful 161 checkout. You have to be pleased with your performances.
The performances in the Remote League have been absolutely brilliant for myself, especially in the finals night, you know, beating Jim Williams 8-2, I believe, and then Paul 10-3. Five legs dropped on the night, and everything just went well for me, and just went right for me on the night. And I felt confident all the way through the week. I mean, the 180s were going in. I think I hit 30 on all 30, all in total. There was only the 10 plus scores of Paul Hogan hit more than me, but I think I topped everything else.
Oh, you certainly were very impressive, and you must be looking forward to the second edition, which will see 16 players, including a few of the lady players as well.
Yeah, I know the players involved. I can't say, obviously, because nothing's been released. But, I'm looking forward to this challenge as well. Being the reigning champ, they'll all want to chomp have a bit of me. But I'll be up for the challenge in this one.
And, I mean, what was the adjustment like playing much later in the evening than you would normally for competitions and stuff?
Yeah, that was quite weird, really, because you had to prepare around about 7 o'clock or probably 8 o'clock if you're on last. It's just a waiting time throughout the day. You've got to judge. I was judging when to have your meals and everything else, so you're not bloated when you're playing and all this sort of stuff. It's quite weird, really. But I coped with it and done it well.
And, I mean, you lost your PDC tour card at the end of 2019. And aside from a little period, sort of 2015, you've been a tour card holder since 2011, more or less. And one of my main memories of you was at the 2012 World Championships, when in the first round you beat Raymond van Barneveld 3-0. What are your memories of that day and that game?
Yeah, I mean, that game will always stick in my head. It's my best ever win in my career. I knew when the draw came out that... I've got Raymond, okay. Well, he's going home. He's going back to Holland. I'm going to beat him. And, people are going, I knew myself and my ability what I could do. And at the time, I was probably an unknown to most people, but quite popular around, I think Northamptonshire, Bedfordshire, and around, circling counties. But on the day, I was fully focused from my job, and I thought I handled the crowd, handled everything, as a professional, and done a good job. And, the 2-1 4-5s, and I had a 120. Absolutely brilliant for myself.
I mean, that was a great game. But talking of your tour card, was there a point in 2019 where you sort of realised mentally that it was in real danger? And did that affect how you were playing at tournaments?
I knew it was in danger because, obviously, 2 years ago to that, I had a very, very good year. because obviously you have to defend the money from 2 years ago. And I thought in that year I played some really good darts and had some really good results. I mean, I managed to get myself to the Worlds, but it was all pending on beating John Henderson. Didn't even think about it at the time. I just went up there and just tried to play my game. But John missed nothing. Didn't let me have a go at anything, really. I mean, that's darts and that's the PDC. And that's how good the players are.
And in the first round of the 2020 World Championships, you took on Meguro Suzuki from Japan. Did you feel any additional pressure being in there against one of the lady players?
I felt no pressure whatsoever, not until I went two sets all, two legs all. And that's when I felt the pressure and I held my nerve and got the win. But prior to that, I had no pressure on myself. I didn't feel anything, no. I just treated Suzuki as another darts player because that's all they are. They've got their own right to qualify, and they did. And at the end of the day, it's just another darts player that was standing in my way to progress in the tournament.
I mean, you looked very comfortable, and then she sort of went on that run of legs that pulled it suddenly back and levelled it up in that fifth set. So I can imagine it was a bit squeaky bum time then.
Just a little bit. I mean, the crowd were playing their part as well, trying to put me off, but it never worked. And that's the sort of player I am. Just head down and just concentrated, and I've done my job in hand.
And when you lost your tour card before, you credited, a large part of you getting it back was from practicing a lot with your son, Joshua, who just won the BDO Youth Championships. What was it like this year when you went to Scotland and the Isle of Man and you were actually playing in ranking events with your son?
Yeah, I mean, Josh never came to the Scottish Open. I went on my own. And that was my first ever tournament. And I'm thinking, really looking forward to this. And, I travelled on my own and this and the other. And I got into the venue and I'm thinking, well, this is completely different to what I'm used to. And the setup and the way they organised it was absolutely brilliant. I thought they used the Darts Connect, so there was no waiting around. It was an eye opener for myself, to be quite honest. And the Isle of Man, I was really looking forward to that one. And walked into the venue, and I thought, well, this is absolutely brilliant. That setup was amazing. And again, they ran it well. Everything was done well. I've got no qualms with that. And I was really impressed, really. But you can't beat the PDC how they run their tournaments. Obviously, it's professionally run. And, it costs more money, obviously, to enter the tournaments and, the Q score and everything else that goes with it. If you don't get a tour card, it's more money. I thought I was really impressed with the WDF setups. Absolutely brilliant.
And I know you didn't actually end up playing your son in the end, but you were both in the draw, certainly in the Isle of Man. Did you have a conversation before about what would happen if you played each other?
No, we didn't. No, it nearly happened, but no, we didn't. We kept just kept quiet. They didn't even talk to each other. Because if it had happened, then I would have treated Josh like any other dart player in the day. I know it's my son, but at the end of the day, it's just another dart player to me.
And, thinking back to when he won the World Youth Championship, what did that mean to see him go up there and lift the title?
Oh, it meant everything to not only me, to the family, my wife, my daughter, and all the supporters that come down. We worked really hard that year. He made a couple of finals and we went to Ireland. He won a tournament over there. And it was flying that year. And as soon as he lifted it, I was in tears. I think about it now and I've got a tear to my eye because it means so much to me.
And, for yourself, when was it that you originally, first picked up a set of darts?
Well, probably about 12 years old. And my dad got me into darts. He was a very good local pub player. He took me on the Monday Night League and then the Factory League on the Wednesday. I kept on going with him. Then I got my opportunity to play. and progressed from there. And I think when I was, I think I was 13, maybe Dad won the Western pairs. And then when I look back now, I won the pairs with Josh, and he was, how old was Josh when he, 13. Yeah, 12, 13, when me and Josh won the pairs, Western pairs, exactly the same league. And, yeah, it's just a family thing.
Hopefully when we get back to some sense of normality, you know, you're involved in the remote darts league and that looks set to be growing. But when things do get back to normal, what are the goals for you as a player?
Basically concentrate on the Challenge Tour. I think they're going to try and cram everything in by the end of the year. How, I don't know. But, you know, just basically good ones in the Challenge Tour to try and get in these, some of these pro tour events. Just build myself ready for Q School next year, where, you know, I didn't really have a very good Q School this year. But I'll be ready for Q School next year.
And, you know, when you went to Q School in 2020, how different was that from when you went the last time in 2015?
Completely different. I mean, I've entered the first ever one, and then there was only 80-odd players there. Now you're talking 300, 400, 500s, and we actually was in another room practicing, and the main, you have to go into another room to play your games, and obviously it was different altogether. You can't, well, you have to keep in contact with your board so you don't get disqualified. Basically due to more players, and I felt good there, felt really good, but obviously probably got a target on my back, and every time I played a player, they seemed to up their games, and they played their A games, and I didn't produce my A game. I think I had one good day where I thought, you know, I was having a good run, then I bumped into this Australian, and he soon sorted me out, and then I think he lost next round. But apart from that, I didn't really do a lot. But wasn't fazed by anything, just nothing happened.
I mean, based on the form you're showing at the moment, you'd certainly be a good candidate, you know, when hopefully we get back to that stage next year. But, you know, there might not be a Q School in January because they might have to, you know, change the season and stuff. So I guess you as a player are just going to have to adapt to whatever happens.
Whatever happens, yeah. I mean, we're all in the same boat. We all don't know what's going to happen. It's a weird situation at the minute, and we'll come out of this, but when, we don't know.
And are you likely to look at doing some more WDF events, or will the sole focus be the Challenge Tour?
I will probably look at some. I'm not 100% what ones yet, but my main aim is obviously Challenge Tour. That's my main aim, to focus on that for the rest of the year.
I wish you the best of luck with the second edition of the Remote Darts League. I'm sure you're going to be a very strong contender to win it again, and hope you stay safe and stay healthy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, like I say, retaining my title, more additional players added, and women, and it's going to be a challenge. So, yeah, I'll stay safe, and I hope you do too.
Thank you very much for your time, James.
Thank you very much.